And there you have it. That was taken from Gantry in 2008 there, where Pauline Scanlon was singing with Eilish Kennedy and they were accompanied by Donna Hennessy. So huge versatility, loads of different combinations and collaborations. Pauline Scanlon with loads of different singers as well. But I think we're good to join Pauline online now. Hello, Pauline. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm enjoying the sun here in Galway.
Oh, you lucky thing. We're looking forward to getting it out into it in about an hour's time as well. Pauline, I've just been playing a couple of tracks while you're enjoying the sun out there. I was just playing that one on Glantry in 2008 with Eilish Kennedy. And before that, we took a track from your album, Gossener, the Churchyard. And I'm just, there's a couple of texts coming in talking about beautiful, beautiful singing. Where will we start going back? To, I suppose, there's loads of collaborative work and that going on now, and I think you were maybe preempting some of the times ahead in your own journey, but when did you start singing?
I was always a singer. I remember going into, and when I was in national school in Nian an Bheaga at home in West Kerry, and my dad used to drive me into school, and we used to sing in the van. We sing in the van, the pair of us going in, and I remember there was a nun that taught us all in West Kerry, all the Dingle crowd, Sister DeSales. She taught us all in junior infants. And she used to bring me around to the classes, to the bigger classes, to go in and sing songs for them. So I would have been four, I suppose, or five then.
Wow.
And that was kind of the first kind of, I suppose, just acknowledgement of it. And then I kind of continued on from there. But at school, really, like, they were really supportive and there was a lot of music kind of around me. And all my family sing at weddings and funerals and all that crap, the same as everyone else, you know.
The same as everybody else, indeed. Pauline, you have a huge amount of, I suppose, as a vocalist, you have huge diversity in that even though you're deeply rooted in the tradition, you explore a lot with other music types, world music and other genres of music, and you incorporate that into your own process. Where did you draw all that influence from?
I suppose I've always just, it's mainly from the music that I listen to. It's never really been a conscious thing like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. But I've never really been one to be, that translates across just my personality type, I think, maybe in my life in general. I just kind of like to mix it up a bit. And that's just the music that I listen to. And singing has always been for me a form of expression. Mm. And I don't really, unless I'm really looking for specific material, I try not to be too academic about it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like singing the verb, the act of, and that's just kind of the way it comes out. I've never really overthought it, you know, or thought about it at all, really. It's just, I just kind of play and sing, and then I surround myself with the cohil and the instrumentation and all of that kind of stuff that I just like to listen to myself. So that's just how that kind of pans out.
So as a singer, does it start with the lyrics or the music or the artists, you know, because you really do work with a lot of different artists and involved in a lot of collaborative work. And I suppose first as a vocalist working with other singers like such as Damien Dempsey, Sinead O'Connor, Eleanor Shanley, Karen Casey, Mairéan Ní Fhada, I can go on, John Spillane, Adria Carr, all very different types of singers. So does it require a lot of versatility from your point of view to play with that combination of artists?
Yeah, I suppose it does, and that kind of versatility is something that I suppose it never really feels like work, but over the last 20 years of kind of singing for a living, I've kind of put a lot of work into it. And I nearly always, even in my own solo gigs now, I'd nearly always have another singer there to sing harmonies with me, because I love it. I just love harmony singing, and I love phrasing, and I love locking into another singer's phrasing, and I like when they do it to me. And I just find that whole sense of unspoken solidarity and just real connection.
Yeah.
I love that. I really buzz off it, and that's where all of that kind of comes in. And I love, as much and all as I love kind of being out front and singing the songs that I've chosen, I love dipping into the back of the stage and being in dull lights and hardly seen singing along to somebody else. I love doing backing vocals and recording them and doing them for other people as much as I love singing on my own, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose in that collaboration or working with others, as you say, moving from being out front to in the back, and there's that it allows you, as you see, first of all, you say there is that connection and there's a deeper emotion, but it allows for great expansion of your own inherent abilities, I'm sure. I'm sure it's very much a rediscovering new things all the time when you have that mindset to work with others.
It really does. And you have to do things like you have to really listen. You know, you have to really listen to what the other person is doing. And it's kind of, it's really taught me that. And I sing with John Spillane, like, for instance, who has a really thick Cork accent. Mm. And if you don't literally cling on to his every word and mimic his accent, you sound like you're not singing really properly singing with him.
Right.
So, like, you have to kind of make all my consonants really pronounced like he does. And you just kind of trip along behind it and really listen to what he's doing, and I try, you know, try and blend in and become almost invisible is the way I like to do it. I just find that such an enjoyable thing to do, you know.
So I imagine the personality then is one of constant change and, you know, I suppose bouncing off different characters and personalities. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, definitely. And then also, like, when it comes to making my own albums, there tends to be, I mean, some people put out albums every year, but I'm just not that kind of person. Mm. Like, the last one I did was 2016, I think, and I'm just working on one at the moment. And I'll have, in the interim, I'll be listening to stuff and feeling a certain way about things and trying to contextualize material and then come up with sounds and kind of a landscape, a sonic landscape that I feel kind of expresses my mood or my outlook at that particular period, you know, of my life.
So I think is it three albums of solo albums you have, Red Colour, Sun, Hush and Gossner at the moment. And I know you're working on another one. We'll come up to that now in a few moments. But would you describe a big changes within each of those albums over the period of recordings?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I've only really properly found my voice as a singer in the last less than 10 years, maybe 7 years or something like that. I think I've settled into my, I was always filled with doubt, you know. I was always quite a fearful singer, and even though I maybe made some kind of brave choices in terms of collaborative partners and stuff, internally I always had a lot of fear. And now I think I just have kind of let go of that, and I have a lot more confidence. And I think with the confidence comes simplicity. I just am more simple about it. I just don't overthink it, and I don't overcomplicate things. And I'm very clear about what I have to do. And before, you know, when I'd be doing those collaborative things and I'd be jumping up on stage doing backing vocals for people, I'd be so fraught and so tense, you know, until I'd really hit my stride that I'd forget to kind of enjoy it, you know, where I've lost that now a bit, I think.
And do you think it's time that has changed that, Pauline, or is it the experience of collaboration and, you know, having a couple of albums under your belt?
Yeah, I think it is experience, really. And it's kind of, it's realizing, I think, that the little mistakes and that it's stopped. I've stopped looking for perfection in myself. You know, I've just come to terms that it just doesn't exist in myself or anyone else, you know. And I've stopped kind of just putting that pressure on myself to do everything, you know, perfectly and so well. And I've just kind of allowed it to flow through me a little bit more, or a lot more, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. After you've done the performance, if there are mistakes in there, sure, as John Spillane says, they can stay there now.
And there is another train of thought. You're perfect within your imperfections, which make you perfect. Isn't that it? Because they're unique to ourselves as well. Just so, speaking on that and speaking about moving on, I suppose, to the new type of work that you've been doing in the last number of years. You know, when I think about you now and the work you're doing, it's almost like this last year, when you talk about, you know, the changes that have happened to you over the number of years and coming into your own voice now, I think a lot of musicians are experiencing this new territory where they're having to, I suppose, reinvent them or rediscover themselves through using maybe technology and things like that. But you've already dived into that world, haven't you?
I have, in terms of the collaborative stuff, but all of the, with the new COVID way of file sharing and will you sing on this and video yourself and send it to me and all that, I am, that brings me out in a rash. Like, I can't. I just cannot do it. I like collaboration for me is intensely about the person that I'm collaborating with and everything that comes with that, not just their music, but the food they eat and the chats that we have and the food we eat together and the walk that we might go for and all of the crack that happens when you're not making the music that still contributes in a way to the collaboration, you know, or the friendship that you have and all of that. And when you take all that other stuff out of it, you're left with this real nuts and bolts kind of thing that doesn't really interest me at all.
So as a songwriter and as a vocalist, do you kind of steer away from the technology kind of stuff and let other people do that? Or have you had to mould yourself and change? Because I know one of the projects you were working with was with Padraig Rinn, you know, with that electronic sense, and you were co-writing material. And so do you get involved in that electronic sense of things, or are you just influenced through the experience of it while others engage in the technology?
I do get involved in it. I guess I'd absolutely do. And I work a lot with John Reynolds in London. And, you know, there's quite, things get quite techie in with Alan Doherty and Tola Custody. And like, I do get involved in the techie element of it. But I, as long as people come with it, it's when it's like the file sharing thing, even in the sense now, like there's a lot of, I'm making an album at the moment. And it just tends to be the way that people send a track to somebody to get somebody to play on it and really send it back to the studio and all that.
Absolutely.
I just try to avoid that as much as I possibly can. But there's an inevitability and a handiness to it as well. But I do enjoy, I do kind of need the people, I think.
And I suppose it's the one thing everybody says in the art sector, you know, it's impossible to beat the real thing. But I suppose more and more artists are doing that. We just played a new track from Brian Finnegan's there earlier, where they have just literally produced like that as well. And I suppose in some ways it's inevitable temporarily. But what are the advantages, we'll say, in that versatility, Pauline? What are the advantages for yourself as a songwriter, we'll say, in that process of being able to incorporate and collaborate with other people that have the technology, electronic skill as well? Does it help push your own boundaries in some ways?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, I'm by no way, in no way a prolific songwriter. Like, I'm definitely not. I dabble in it a bit and mainly with other people, but I just did a project there with Tola Custody and Alan Doherty called Pharaoh, and we were working with a great singer and multi-instrumentalist and producer, Gary Keane from Cork, and they're all really techie. And you know, I find that, you know, if you have people who are into loops and all sorts of delays and all those things, that when you have those in your ears as you're singing and as you're writing stuff together, that that obviously can really inform what comes out of you and opens up all sorts of little doorways and pathways that you never thought were there. So I definitely embrace all of that.
Yeah, and we've actually played Pharaoh here a little while back on the programme as well, and it's a beautiful, stunning collaboration, and it's so tight. You're very much suited as artists on that production as well. Does that play a lot into it?
It does, and we're pals, like, and we've travelled the world together over the last, on and in so many different incarnations and projects over the last kind of 15 years. We've been around the world 10 times, I'd say, and we kind of get each other and we're mad about each other. Like, we're really like tight pals, you know.
Yes.
So that definitely does translate into the music then, when you come, particularly like with Al and Tola, when they play together. Like, I've recorded with them on so many different things, and they'll write a little riff or a lick, and they'll both play it exactly the same. They're like a flock. They're like starlings in a murmuration.
Beautiful.
They dart the same direction at the same time. They're amazing.
And so I'd like to talk to you in a few minutes just about your new album and upcoming. But before that, there's a lot more to you than the singing as well, because you've also produced a number of television shows on BBC and TG Cahir as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've presented a few bits and pieces here and there, mainly in the music realm, all in the music realm, actually. And yeah, that's something that I enjoy doing from time to time. Yeah, it's good fun.
And so that brings us on then. We just played a couple of tracks there from your album with Eilish, Kennedy. And I think that album, was it in, it's maybe 2006, was it, when that album came out together?
Yeah. Somewhere, maybe 2009, actually, I think. I'm terrible at remembering the years. I drifted years.
And that that album, as you were saying, you know, that the mix between yourself and Eilish, between harmonies and backing, and I mean, that was a huge success, wasn't it?
It was great. Like, and I had a baby then after our second album, and I kind of didn't really do a whole pile. I did a solo thing, and we were just saying at the start of last year, God, we must get together now and do another one. And then all this kind of happened, and I think for Eilish and I to get together, like, we're really close friends, and to do that in any circumstance other than being in the same room together and working out the songs and working out the harmonies would just be practically impossible, because it's just not the way we work. But it is, that Lumiere is and has definitely been one of my proudest kind of musical achievements, and I think one of the things that I've enjoyed doing the most, for sure.
So that brings us up to the last year, Pauline. What has it been like? I know that you have you're working on another album. Have you been able to work on that in the last 12 months, or is it on standstill for the moment?
I managed to squeeze in a trip to London, all right, to lay out down all the tracks and to get all the tracks together.
Brilliant.
And do all the I needed to do, yeah, and then nothing for months and months and months. So it needs to be mixed, and again, like, I think I'd like really like to be there for that part of it, rather than stuff open and back. So I was hoping to have, I'm still hoping that I might have it out kind of September, October time. But I think we're all learning now that we give ourselves deadlines, and then they don't happen, you know, because of the nature of the year.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about what we can expect from the album when it does come out? Because I know people will be very excited to hear about it.
Yeah, so it's kind of a complicated one to explain. I was a member, or found one of the founding members of Fair Play, one of the gender equality drives. And we did a lot of work for 3 years. And then at the end of it, I found myself kind of thinking about the material that I'd been singing and how the agency of women was reflected in it. And I really wanted to make a piece of art that I thought properly represented my thoughts and feelings and opinions as a modern woman, but singing older material. So I was kind of tossing around in my head, how do I do this? Because I wanted all the material to be traditional. So my mother passed away about 7 years ago, and I decided that I would take her life from birth to death and break it up into sections and sing about a modern woman that way. So I would just look at an entire life, and I could attach a traditional song to each stage of her life, and some of the stages they'd be kind of few and far between the songs that I would feel be appropriate. But I read an article that Peggy Seeger had written, and she was saying that, you know, like, the traditional songs are of their time, so they do at sometimes come across as being slightly misogynistic or outdated. But if you sing them with intent, and you acknowledge that about them, that you can kind of repurpose them and kind of live with yourself for singing some of the stuff that's in them, you know, that doesn't quite fit with my own beliefs as a person. So that's where I started with it. And so it's a collection of 10 songs, all kind of loosely based on the life of my mother, or that I could attached to the lives of modern women. So that's
quite a phenomenal project to undertake. And do you think that the Fair Play, being involved in Fair Play, had a huge influence on that then, and in deciding to kind of frame the album around it?
Yeah, I think like that, because we worked so much on Fair Play. Like, it was nearly like a full-time job, really, for after 3 years between us all. You know, there was stuff to do every day, and I'd felt myself really kind of getting bogged down in the admin, literally in the sending of emails and all of that kind of thing. And I just said, but I need to do something creative, you know, to get all that out of me, because it was quite difficult. It was quite emotionally trying, you know, the whole Fair Play thing.
I can imagine that, yeah.
Yeah, so I just said, God, I need to put this into a box and sing about it, and then move on to new pastures, I guess. And so that's how I decided I would do that. So it's been delayed by about a year, but I'll get there. Yeah.
It sounds like a hugely significant process, and I've no doubt hugely emotional as well, with especially with the connection with your mom. And what a fantastic honour as well to, I suppose, have a memory around her, and I suppose acknowledge her life as well, in that it must be probably the most personal album you'll probably do for have done to date, maybe.
Absolutely. And she was a feminist, my mother. You know, she really drilled it into me, and she was really kind of ahead of her time. She was quite progressive, and she was a liberal, and she was a lefty, and we would share, we'd be quite similar in that way. So I think, you know, she would be very proud of it. And I think there's lots of her life story contained within it, to do with church and state and all of the usual things. So I think it is a bit of a release also for her, wherever she is, to have voice, you know, when she didn't live to see repeal or any of those great social things that have happened for women in the last 5 years. So I felt like I needed to give her a little one last crack at it, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing. And we will be waiting for that album release, and we'll hopefully see lots of news about that as you progress. And we really, really wish you the very best of luck with that, Pauline. Looking forward to having that project out. So before I finish, is there anything in the last year, I suppose, that is a huge project, and I'm sure you've spent a lot of time on that, but how has the last 12 months been otherwise for you within, I suppose, the lockdown and artistically?
Kind of up and down, you know, like I read a tweet there that somebody had the other day, and they were saying that they were swinging between like absolute lows, and then they get a big burst of energy and go onto the computer and start emailing like mad and setting up and all that. And then like an hour later, you're back down in the bed again going, oh my God, when is this going to end? So it's been up and down. The beginning of it, I couldn't do a thing. I was just so like, I was outside a lot, all right, and we had that lovely April and the spring was happening. But in terms of creativity, it just shut down.
Yeah.
I think that's partly to do with the fact that, you know, I've been singing for 20 years and been creative for 20 years, and just the break from it was kind of nice, to
be honest.
Absolutely,
I can imagine. Yes.
And then I got a big burst of creativity then around the end of the summer, and I've kind of ridden that wave now for a while, and it comes and goes, and there's days where I feel really optimistic and days then where I just feel terrible. So I think everybody's the same, really.
You sound like you're just reading my mind, Pauline. Absolutely. on that note, is there a fundraiser taking place for your forthcoming album, or where can people purchase some of your other merchandise online, etc.?
I did a Kickstarter for my upcoming album, and I got it across the line, and that's all
brilliant.
Done and dusted. My website, paulinescanlon.net, anything that anybody wants to buy is on there, and I'll send it out with a lovely handwritten note and all of that. But I have to say, the people have been in general really supportive of all that, and talking to all my own artist friends and all of that, you know, the people have really been trying to support artists in any way they can. So we're really looking forward to seeing everybody when we get out and to do it all again. I just can't wait to see a room full of people.
It'll be so exciting. And Pauline, I've no doubt there'll be loads of people after hearing your gorgeous music here today that will be really looking forward to that upcoming album. I am personally myself really looking forward. It'll be fantastic. Before I let you go, Pauline, can I ask you to introduce the next song and tell us a little bit about it before we play it? It's the 18th of June.
So this is a song about the Battle of Waterloo. I got it from the singing of the amazing Frank Hart, who we all have got songs from down over the years. And I think it's a really good descriptive song. It describes the battle, and it describes the feeling, and it describes what it might have been like on Sunday, the 18th of June in 1815, I think it was, near Waterloo in Belgium. So that's what that song is.
Pauline Scanlon, thank you so much for joining us today on The Morning Dew.
Thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed the chat. Thanks, Lou.
Wonderful. Thanks, Pauline. Bye for now.